Right. I'll put my books. I can't put them on the floor because it's a Bible. And in Iraqi culture, if you put a Bible on the floor, I start each of my events by praying God's blessing, not in English or Arabic, but Aramaic. The language which was good enough for Jesus says good enough for me. Shemid Baba, Brona, Brucha, Kosha, Ha'alaha, Amen. Praying God's blessing. Very good to see you this morning. Lovely to be with you all. You look really lovely people. Any younger people here? Any children? One, two, three. I'm rather into young people because, as you, my young friends, will know, old people are quite boring. But I mean, you saw that we've got a school and I'm in class 5. So when the children queue up each day in the playground, I'm in class 5 with the little ones. So it's quite good. Well, it's great to be able to be with you today and to be able to bring you something of our church in Iraq. Our church in Iraq. I work both in Iraq and Israel. Israel, Palestine, Jordan, Iraq. And the key thing about our work is that we are doing the work of the Lord God Almighty. And do you know what? God loves Jews and Arabs. So we're not against one or the other. It really hurts me to see that so much of the church is divided. Either you're pro-Arab or you're pro-Jewish. And we are pro-both. Are you? Yeah, good, excellent. What kind of church is you from? How many of you from this church? Lots of you, great. I know about this church. And we got any Pentecostals here? A few, not many. And any Anglicans? Any Assyrians? Any Chaldeans? Any Syrian Orthodox? No, none of our lot. The wonderful thing, I say this with sincerity, the wonderful thing about our persecution, the tragedy that we have faced, is that we are no longer Anglicans, Pentecostals, Presbyterians. We are just Christians. The one thing that has brought us all together is the suffering. When you suffer for Christ, you forget denominations. And you just love serving Jesus. Does anybody speak Arabic here? One, are you an Arab? Oh, come here. I don't know Kurdish. But Shlonik Habibi, you know what I mean, don't you? Alhamdulillah, Kola Zain, Shakumaku. Alhamdulillah. Are you from Erbil or Duhok?
I'm from Erbil.
Erbil.
Yes.
Erbil is pretend Iraq. It's not real Iraq. It's normal. When you try and go up there from Iraq, they stop you. Why are you coming here? Are you Iraqi or Kurdish? If you're Iraqi, Muzain. They don't like us Iraqis. And interestingly, the thing they're really scared about, I was driving up to Kurdistan one day, they stopped us. I was with my colleagues. They said, if you're Iraqis, we don't want you in Kurdistan. Kurdistan is, in theory, Iraq. They said, if you're Christian, you can come. Muslim, no. And they're Muslims.
Problem. We know about it. But they do to us also. When we go to Baghdad, they kill us.
Oh no, the Iraqis and the Kurds hate each other.
Yes, you are right.
There's a history there. They've been doing it a long time. Very good meeting you, Kuala Zain. So, are you a Christian background, Masihi?
No, I'm Muslim, but I'm pastor now. I'm leading the Kurdish church.
Where?
The network of Kurdish church in 8 countries, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, Georgia, Armenia, and South of Russia.
What's your name?
Hakim Ali Ismail.
Ah.
I'm a friend of Sandy Russell.
Sandy,
he told me about
this. Hi there.
Yes.
Good, we're friends. Where are you from?
From the peaceful land of Lebanon.
From Lebanon. Lebanon is a great country, great history, great pain, great sorrow. And yet it is, you know, Lebanon is Christian and Muslim historically, but they have suffered so much. And now Lebanon is helping the Iraqis so much. It is a place where they are finding refuge. Mahaba. Keep al Khabibi. Kulazain. Well, it's wonderful being with you. And it's wonderful coming to... I've finished now. Yeah. It's wonderful coming to a country I have never been to before. But half of my family lived here. They emigrated here, including my grandparents. My cousins are all South African, and they speak South African. I won't take off how they talk to me, but it's really good. And it's good to actually be here in this land that I have known about since I was a little boy. My grandfather and grandmother first came here when I was 4 years old. A very significant when I was four, because that was when I decided I wanted to be two things. I wanted to be a medic and a priest or a pastor. When I was at school, at 10 years old, my teacher said, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" And I honestly said to her, "I want to be an anaesthetist and a priest." And she said, "You can't. You can only do one thing. You can't do two." Anyway, I did do two. And she said, you can't be a priest anyway because you're Pentecostal. And they don't have priests. Well, that's true. Found a way around that one, all right? One day, I was working at St. Thomas's Hospital in London where I'd studied. And I was running the cardiac arrest team in those days. And I was between cardiac arrests. They don't place them very well on timings. But I had no cardiac arrest at the time. And I was praying outside in the garden of the hospital by the River Thames. And I said, Lord, I thank you so much that you've sent me to the place where I always wanted to be. I thank you that I've trained here. Then I thought, I ought to say, what next, Lord? Presuming he would say, stay here forever. I said, what next, Lord? He said, I want you to go into the church. And I said, no, I'm very good at what I do. So I thought what God said for half an hour. One of the things you realize is you can't fight God. If he tells you something, you do it. So I went off to the pastor factory at Cambridge University and did theology. And Christian theology was really, really boring. So I changed and did Judaism. And I studied at Yeshiva, Jewish Orthodox Seminary in Israel. And that was what first got me interested in the Middle East, not the Arab lands, the Jewish land. But eventually, God led me to the Arab land. When God first called me into the church, I said, Lord, do you really want me? You really want me to go to Cambridge and study theology? And I said to God, what church should I join? And I was sure he told me I had to be an Anglican. And I said, Lord, they're not even all saved. And God said, I know. That's why you're going there. So, I really thank God that he's broken down the barriers of denominations amongst us in the persecuted church. And I really thank God that my inheritance was the Spirit-filled Christian life. My grandfather worked for a man called Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody heard of him? This is Smith Wigglesworth's own Bible. Really, his own Bible. And this Bible was my grandfather's. It's falling to pieces. It's Smith Wigglesworth's sermons are in here. I used to preach them when I couldn't find anything to preach on. And it spent most of its life since Smith died in South Africa. Now, it's wherever I go. And one of the things about our ministry is that we have to work in the power of God. We have a church, a school, and a full clinic. And this clinic has dentistry, doctors, cardiologists, pediatricians, all sorts. I run it, I suppose, but outside. It's not as if I see patients, Who's a doctor here? Anybody? What kind? Ophthalmologist. Well, we need an ophthalmologist at the moment. We have very good clinicians, Iraqi clinicians, but very occasionally we need somebody, not very often. But in this clinic, patients come all the time. 95% of our patients are Muslim. It's not a clinic for the church. It's a clinic for Iraq. Now, one of the key things of medicine is you treat everybody. You don't decide this person's a Croat or a Serbian or a Arab and is a Muslim and we'll only treat them. No, you treat everybody. One day, one of the Muslim patients turned up. He said, doctor, can you treat my daughter? She's really ill. And the doctor said, no, we can't treat her in the university hospital. We can't just start taking on other patients. Because they call it the English clinic, they think it's got some supernatural medicine. Well, it has got supernatural medicine, but it's from Jesus. And he said, go over and see Abuna. That means basically daddy, what they call the priest. And he came over to me and said, can you treat my daughter? I said, look, I will pray for her and God will treat her. And I prayed with him and I said, go to your daughter now. And all the way there, just say the name of Jesus in Aramaic, Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. He got to the hospital and the doctor met him and said, I'm so sorry, Ahmed, your daughter's just died. He cried and wailed. He said, Abuna said that she would get better. He went to see her, covered by a blanket, and he was still saying, Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. He put his arms around her. He said, Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. She sat up. She said, Daddy, I'm hungry. Can you get me some food? He came and told me this. So I said, don't worry, it's happened before. A typical example. Now, there have been 7 occasions where the dead have been raised. I could go into all these stories in great detail. Now, the incredible thing is, I have never been the one praying for the person to be raised from the dead. 2 types of people. Women, the women from the church, or Muslims. God doesn't need just pastors. He needs all of us. And that's the good news. My people, we had 6,500 in our church in Baghdad. And the violence in Baghdad was so bad that people started to flee back to the homeland of the Christians. The homeland, the town the Christians came from, as my friends will tell you, was mainly Nineveh. In English, Nineveh. Do you remember we had a miserable evangelist go there one day in a submarine? He went to Nineveh. He preached to these miserable Assyrians. And they all became Christians. No, they all became the followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 700 years later, another miserable person went there. His name was? Anybody know? Martoma, Doubting Thomas to you. We never called him Doubting Thomas. Saint Thomas, who touched Jesus, changed the lives of our people. Until ISIS turned up a year or so ago, that's the Islamic State who went to kill the Christians and others, Nineveh was the homeland of the Christian people. The miserable evangelist, the miserable disciple, they were all there. Iraq has a history of miserable people. Jonah, Thomas, me. Take your pick. Until they turned up to persecute, Nineveh was still Christian. Can you believe that? From the time of Jonah to 100 till a year ago, it was full of Christians. A year ago, the bishop said there was no communion in Erbil, in Mosul, Nineveh, last week for the first time in 2,000 years. Our people have been there all along. Our people were the first church apart from Israel. Our people were the first people to head on mission. And they went from Israel, Doubting Thomas, stopped off in Nineveh, saw all these people who believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Thomas said to them, "Did you know the Messiah had come?" And they said, "No, nobody's told us." He told them about Jesus. They believed. From Nineveh, they went to China. Can you believe that? Right at the very beginning, one of the very first places that the Assyrian Christians went was to India and China. So before there was living faith in England, America, or South Africa, there was in China and India. Isn't that incredible? And now they're coming back to us. And it started with us going there. God is so amazing. ISIS, the Islamic State, turned up to one of my people from Nineveh. And they said, "Right, you convert to Islam or we kill you and all your children." This man could not bear the thought of his children being killed in front of him. And he said the words of conversion. He phoned me in the evening, "Abuna, Abuna, will God forgive me?" I said the words of conversion, "I still love Yeshua." I said, "Yeshua still loves you. He will always love you." The next day, the story wasn't so good, but it was, in a way, even more good. ISIS turned up to another family, and they spoke to the children for them, and they said, "Will you all convert to Islam?" or your dad. And you know what the children said? We love Yeshua. We have always loved Jesus. We will never stop loving Jesus. We will always follow Him. We love Him, they said. And they held each other and they spoke to Jesus. Isis said, say you follow Islam or you're dead. And the children said, no, we follow Yeshua. They shot them all dead. All of our children that day were killed. Do you know where those children are now? They're in heaven, dancing with Jesus. That's the thing that gives us hope. Yes, our people really love and know Jesus. They really serve Him. And they really worship Him. But they won't stop. Come what may, they will continue. So many of my people have had their families killed. The girl you saw there on the film, Georgina, she came home from her grandparent, her grandmother one day, and there was her father, mother, four brothers, all dead in their living room. And their bodies were there. And the family fled to Jordan. And to hear her story and see her tears, the pain was so awful. But we just loved her and said, we're with you. We're not leaving you. And it's wonderful how Georgina has changed. And I have lots of people in Jordan now. And some of the girls from my church now work for me. And they took her shopping. And girls like going shopping. And she did shopping. And I've never seen shopping affect somebody so much spiritually. She was so happy, never experienced anything like this before. And in a way, it was a very small thing, but it was giving to her something which would show the love of Jesus. Two other children, their family were killed as well. A little boy called Mario, and he used to plead with me, Abuna, Abuna, will you find my daddy for me? I knew his daddy had been killed. So difficult. And I said, I will give you whatever I can. I will love you. I will keep your housing for you. I will get food for you. I said, Mario, what else would you like? He said, I want school. Now, Jordanians were not allowing the Iraqis to go to any of their schools. And so I said, Mario, I will get you school. Now what do you do when you have 300 or so Iraqi children? They all need school. That's just in one area of Amman. So we started school. And now they all go to school. And they love school. And I'm in class 5. And I queue up with my class every day. And the children meet in the playground. And they pray 3 times a day before they go into school, at their break time when they go back to their class, and at the end of the day, they stand in the playground and they sing their prayer in Aramaic. Wonderful sign of hope. And all these children have hope now. And we don't just provide them with education. We provide the whole family with food every week as well. Without that, there is nothing for them whatsoever. I think it would be lovely if you could see just some of our people, how they're responding as refugees in Jordan to the fact that they know that God is. Can we see a video?
Christians fled villages like Karakush and Bartila. Most have come here to Erbil with nothing more than the clothes on their back.
It was leave or die.
We saw this video, didn't we? No.
فماذا نقول في ضوء هذا كله؟
إن كان الله إلى جانبنا، فمن يصمد ضدنا؟
وإن كان الله لم يمنع عنا ابنه الوحيد،
بل أسلمه للموت من أجلنا جميعاً.
أفلا يكون مستعداً لإعطائنا كل شيء معه؟
بل الذي سيشتكي على الذين اختارهم الله، فالله هو الذي يبرئهم
ومن الذي سيدينهم.
فالمسيح يسوع هو الذي مات وقام،
وهو أيضا الذي يجلس عن يمين الله يحامي عنا.
فمن يقدر أن يفصلنا عن محبة المسيح؟ أتقدر على ذلك الضيقات؟
أم المشقات؟
أم الاضطهادات؟ أم الجوع؟
أم العري؟
أم الأخطار؟
أم الموت بالسيف؟
فكما يقول الكتاب
أننا من أجلك
نواجه خطر الموت
طول النهار ونحن محسوبون كغنم للذئب.
غير أننا في كل هذه الشدائد
منتصرون انتصارا مجيدا جدا
من خلال ذاك الذي أحبنا.
فأنا مقتنع بأنه ما من شيء يقدر أن يفصلنا عن محبة الله التي في المسيح يسوع ربنا.
فلا موت ولا حياة ولا ملائكة ولا أرواح مسلطة
ولا قوى روحية
ولا شيء في الحاضر ولا شيء في المستقبل
ولا شيء مما فوقنا
ولا شيء مما تحتنا
ولا أي شيء آخر مخلوق
يمكن أن يفصلنا عن محبة الله
التي لنا في المسيح يسوع ربنا.
في ظل الأوضاع الذي يعيشها المسيحيين في الشرق الأوسط اجعل صوتك صوت.
But it is wonderful to see the reality and depth of the faith of these people who have nothing. They have nothing, but they have everything because they have Yeshua. And Yeshua is the one who will encourage them, who will keep them going. And our job is to love them and support them. And I ask you today to stand with us in helping these people, in supporting these people. You know, all that we provide doesn't come from nowhere. My charity, my foundation, used to run at a couple of £100,000 a year. Now we're spending millions, literally every month, just to keep all these people alive. And do you know how we're doing it? Because our brothers and sisters around the world are with us. You are our brothers and sisters. We are family. We're not alone. We've got you, and you have us. We will not leave you, and we know that you will not leave us, because we're brothers and sisters. Thank you for being part of that family of Jesus, that family of the Messiah. And things are going to continue to be difficult for us. They are going to continue to be really, really painful. But we are going to succeed. Do you know why? Because soon, and very soon, we're going to see him. And the one thing that we can do and say is, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Sing with me. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Hallelujah. When the terrorists came in, they removed our Bibles. They removed the Bibles of our people. But God sent us some new ones. They were small, plastic, and they were solar powered.
Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form.
These Bibles are all solar powered, so they don't run out. They keep going in the sun. Isn't it good? So the Word of God continues. Now, I would like to give one of these Bibles to somebody, but they have to be under 15. Who's under 15 and would like a Bible? Here we are. With love from Iraq to you. Enjoy it. You know, we might not be able to give much from Iraq, but we can still give love. And we can still share with you the love of our Saviour. And his word still remains. And it's a joy being able to be with you, though you're a long way away. So far, I can cope with flights up to 10 hours, but when it's more than that, it's not really reasonable. Next time, why don't you come to us? Okay? Now, I want to tell you, I've got some books here. I've written 13 books, but I've only got 4 of them here, They're mainly about Iraq, but one's called the older younger brother, the tragic treatment of the Jews by the Christians. It was very interesting meeting with leaders of the Jewish community here in Joburg yesterday. And I really hope that next year we will do a big event together, both Jewish and Christian. When all of our people started being killed, the first people to come to us were not the Christians, it was the Jews. They said, "We have been there before." With us, nobody said anything. "We're not going to be like that with you. We're going to be with you." So there are some books on sale here. I haven't got all of my books. And besides, my first book, none of you would understand apart from you. It's called The Role of Trichloroethylene in Caesarean Sections. Didn't sell many. Who would like a book? First one here can have a book. You can buy one. Are you Jewish?
No, my husband is. He's a Messianic believer.
Are you Canadian?
No, South African.
I've got a maple leaf.
No, I went there.
Your husband's Jewish. You get the Jewish one then. Oh! How old are you? 10. This one's quite good because it's got lots of pictures. Me with the Pope, Saddam, Yasser Arafat. So you can have that, alright? And I'll sign it for you after. So, if any of you want any books, and you're not 10, and you're not Jewish, then you've got to buy them, sorry. But it will help our people. It will support and sustain them. Can I take some questions?